Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. We are here on Friday, December 3rd, talking Week 13 DFS main slate. Michael Beller and Derek Van Riper with you to talk through this main slate and DVR. It's an interesting one, man. We've only got two games that are sitting above a total of 50, and even those are sort of ones that I don't necessarily look at and be like, oh yeah, these are going over. I got to get involved. It's going to be a main slate with a lot of options for building.
Yeah, and so far, at least, there hasn't been an overwhelming amount of injury news that's created an excessive amount of value, which when you combine all these things together, I think you often end up with a lot of mid-tier builds, right? You don't have more than one really expensive player. It's not that stars and scrubs sort of thing, because you can get so many 4,500, 5K running backs that are just off the charts great plays. So I think it gives you more paths to build and a little more of a flat roster rate across much of the player pool.
Let's start with those high-scoring games, or the high-total games, at least. We've got two games that are sitting at a total of 50.5 on BetMGM. Those are Chargers-Bengals and Buccaneers-Falcons. Next up is 49.5 Washington and the Las Vegas Raiders. Then you've got the Jaguars and Rams at 48. And DVR, the fifth highest total on the board, on the main slate, is Vikings and Lions at 46.5, which, frankly, isn't really that high of a total. We've had plenty of weeks this year where the five highest totals have all been 48.5, 49 or better. And this week we've got 46.5 Vikings Lions, a Lions team that doesn't really do much for anyone in the fantasy world. The Vikings team is playing without Dalvin Cook this week. That's the fifth highest total that we've got. So that's why I think things are going to be relatively spread out. Are there any of those five that you really want to get involved with because of what you see as high end scoring potential?
The game that stands out to me is one that I feel like could stay back and forth and shoot out the way that we want games to shoot out. I think it's one of the first ones you mentioned, Chargers-Bengals, right? You look at those two teams, it seems like they're evenly matched. You don't have a heavy favorite that could be running the ball a lot in the second half the way you do in some of those other matchups. Right. So that's where the stack interest is the greatest for me, but I imagine that's where the stack interest might be the greatest for most people. So, you know, getting separation elsewhere in your lineup is going to be critical if you decide to build stacks around Chargers and Bengals this weekend.
You know what? I feel like you could also make an argument for fading that game. Not entirely. There's so many good players in that game. If you want to get Joe Mixon by himself or Austin Eckler by himself or one of the QBs, I totally understand that. But I think you can make an argument for fading that game. This is actually something I talked about on the Friday episode of Best on the Board, with one of my three favorite plays in the NFL this week being under 50.5 in this game. The Chargers are 4-7 in over-under record, meaning that only four of their 11 games have gone over. The Bengals are at 5-6. Like, as much talent as both of these teams have offensively, they just haven't played these sort of shootout games. Neither really one of them have for an extended period. This isn't like a Cowboys style of offense or a Chiefs style of offense where the way they win games necessarily has to be them scoring 31 or 34 points. We know the Bengals have had a very good defense this season. The Chargers, good pass defense, bad run defense. The Bengals have really lived on Joe Mixon over the last month or so, and that shapes up very well going up against what the Chargers are good at and bad at defensively. And that's really why Joe Mixon is my favorite guy in this game. And I think, honestly, my favorite running back that we have available to us on the main slate. He's the third most expensive at 8,100. Jonathan Taylor's at 9,200. Austin Eckler at 8,300. And I really like Joe Mixon coming in 8,100 as the centerpiece of my cash game builds this week because of what he's been to Cincinnati over the last month. And because of the way I expect this game to go down, I do think it's going to stay close between Chargers and Bengals. I think it's going to be a fun, exciting game. But I see it more as a game that's played in the mid to high 40s rather than the low to mid 50s.
Yeah, I think that's all very sound reasoning. And if you were building multiple lineups, you don't have to necessarily stack Bengals and Chargers in all of them. Maybe that's a good case to stack them a bit less than you would have otherwise. I think Jonathan Taylor at 9,200 is going to be popular for good reason. I think he's going to be the expensive player people want to pay up for because the Colts are big favorites on the road in Houston. Jonathan Taylor has been just amazing so far this season. We're not wearing the Badger glasses right now, even though I'm wearing literally a Wisconsin hat and you've got a Wisconsin sweatshirt on.
I was just going to say that, right? We both literally have Wisconsin clothing on right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Jonathan Taylor has been doing this season, though. I mean, it's amazing. 19.7 last week felt like a disappointment against Tampa Bay, of course, because the price was 9,100, but he popped off with a 56-point game in Week 11 against Buffalo, up over 20 in every game prior to that, going all the way back to Week 4. So really impressive stretch. Mm-hmm. Clearly the focal point of that offense and in a game script where they should be running all day. I mean, Jonathan Taylor could have 100 yards and 2 TDs at halftime of this game. Yep. That's entirely possible just based on usage and game flow and some of the issues that the Texans have. So I like getting up to Jonathan Taylor, and I didn't have a difficult time doing it this week because I felt like the mid-tier options were fine throughout, and then there were a couple of punt options on the bottom of the roster that I thought were viable enough to actually make it all come together. I think the game that I'm kind of intrigued by, looking at my cash game build for our pentathlon, is Raiders and Washington footballs.
Yes.
Because...
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely 100% agree.
Darren Waller, has he been ruled out yet? He's doubtful, I think. No one's expecting him to play. So Darren Waller, maybe we get some good news after the pod, but we're not expecting him to go.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of ways you can go at this. You could go Derek Carr with Hunter Renfrow. You could go Derek Carr with Foster Moreau, the backup tight end,
$2,700
as the punt play, right? And that's what I wanted to do for cash because we saw 5 targets for Moreau on Thanksgiving. Waller played in that game. Let's say we get 5 or 6 targets for Moreau again at this price this week. If he pulls one in for a TD, even if he doesn't, if he catches 4 balls for 50 yards, you're okay with that. 9 points at $2,700 from that tight end spot is fine because it unlocks plenty of other things. But I like pairing Carr with at least one of those pass catchers. And I actually like Antonio Gibson quite a bit too, Beller. Mm-hmm. $5,700 is the price. I know we've been concerned about the health of his shin throughout this season. Since that Week 9 bye, the way they have utilized him has been the way I think we've all wanted him to be utilized all season long. 24, 19, and 29 carries now the last 3 weeks. He had a 7-target game in that horrible Monday night game against Seattle, but the usage is exactly where we want it to be, and he's only $5,700. So that game really popped for me, and some combination of Gibson and Carr with one of those Raiders pass catchers was something that I really wanted to make a priority in that cash game build.
I mean, you're taking all the words right out of my mouth, because when I'm listing those games, the high scoring games, the high total games, Chargers Bengals, as I said, I already think it's going under. But I understand why it's at that total because of all the firepower on both sides. Buccaneers, Falcons. You basically have to pencil in the Buccaneers at like 49 or higher for all their totals because of everything they can do offensively. And then you see Vegas and Washington at 49.5. And that's not 49.5 is a good total. That's not just relative to the low totals that are available this week. Like, no matter what, 49.5 might not always be the third or fifth highest total, but it's always going to be in like the top half at the very least. And quite often it will be like the fifth highest total. And it's, you sort of look at that and you wonder like, why? The first thing is like, why is this necessary? Like, no Darren Waller, like Washington, Taylor Heinicke. Like, this is a 49.5 point total game, and it's only a 2.5 point spread too, right? Like the Raiders are coming off that Thanksgiving win over the Cowboys in Dallas, 10 days off, and they're only favored by 2.5 at home against Washington. Like, this is going to be a close game. This is probably going to be a close game that the odds makers see fit to install with a 49.5 total. I love this game from a fantasy perspective, so that I really want to be invested in this one, and I think you really hit all the guys. I mean, Terry McLaurin obviously is going to be in the mix too for DFS purposes because he's Terry freaking McLaurin, and he should be in the mix every week, even if it had a 39.5 total. But those are the guys who I'm mostly looking at. Antonio Gibson, Derek Carr, Raiders pass catcher. I love that sort of build to go along with my Joe Mixon or your Jonathan Taylor. That's really the core of what I think can be a really strong cash game lineup.
Yeah, and I thought was interesting to me was that, you know, Jamal Williams is going to get a ton of touches in Detroit in that Minnesota game. 5,400 is the price there. Why would you not just go the extra 300 to get to Gibson? Look, Jamal Williams,
I think there's a lot of risk with Jamal Williams.
There's low TD potential just because of who the Lions offense is run by. It's not Williams' fault. Like, the usage is there.
Yeah.
This is not. I have no issues with playing him. I just think relative to what you should get from Gibson, the way that game should flow, how Gibson is utilized, if you're choosing in a vacuum, who's the better player? Gibson's, to me, a slightly better player, maybe a lot better.
A lot, yeah.
So a $300 bump, it's easy to find. I wonder how much the projected usage will change. For now, Roto-Grinders has Williams as the more popular of the two. But what's wild this week, I have what I think is my favorite group of receivers all year, I'm playing four. I'm playing one in the flex again. I have a cash game default right now with Godwin, Jalen Waddle, and Deontay Johnson. And I think since yesterday when I first started doing the research on this, they've all crept up in terms of usage. They're all extremely chalky, but they're all underpriced.
Like, yeah.
Godwin should be over 7K. He's 6,600. Jalen Waddle, maybe if you have Devontae Parker back out there, you have to scale back some of the volume a little bit. But he's playing very well right now. And Tua Tagovailoa, while he is not necessarily fantasy viable himself, is doing enough to make Jalen Waddle look like a wide receiver one. And I'm excited to have him at 6,400. Deontay Johnson, in a situation where I don't trust Ben Roethlisberger at all from a real life perspective, and I don't want to ever pick the Steelers any sort of spread picks contest or like any, like I'm talking myself out of that team all the time. I'm talking myself into Deontay Johnson every week because of the targets. 14 last week against the Bengals, 13 against the Chargers in that Sunday night game the week before, 13 against the Lions week before that. I mean, that usage is off the charts. He's under 7K. So even with Taylor at 9,200, I was able to find just enough in the budget for those three receivers because of one other guy in that Lions game. And I bet you're going to try and talk me out of him. And maybe I'll talk, maybe you will. And maybe if you don't, I'll still talk myself out of him between now and Sunday. But Josh Reynolds at 3,400. You have the previous rapport with Jared Goff, which I think in that receiving core, given the lack of alternatives, actually means something. We have a little bit of big playability. We saw that on Thanksgiving with the long TD. It ended up being five targets for him in that game. You have a game script where the Lions are chasing down, like they're at least a touchdown dog.
As long as the Lions exist, they're chasing DVR.
Yeah, like that's just that's what Lions do anyway. So,
yeah, right.
I guess real Lions usually catch something and eat it, but
not
nevertheless,
the 0-10-1 football version.
So it breaks down a little bit, but Josh Reynolds at 3,400. As far as punt player receivers go,
oh yeah,
I like him as much as anybody we've looked at in this range in probably at least a month. So he was the other key, along with Moreau, to getting all of those receivers and Jonathan Taylor to fit in a more stars and scrubsy sort of build. If you didn't want to go up that high to Taylor and you wanted to go to a more balanced build, you could easily do it and not play these punt guys. There's plenty of ways to get there, but I actually found this path to be a good one because I have a little bit of faith in Reynolds remaining the favorite target out of that receiving core now that he's in Detroit.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, so three reactions to the things you said. Number one, back to the start. 100% agree, if you're going to play Jamal Williams, just pay the $300 more and play Antonio Gibson. Something we didn't even mention with Gibson, J.D. McKissick ruled out, did not clear concussion protocol. So there's no J.D. McKissick for Washington. And we know Jamar Jefferson's going to have some sort of role for Detroit. So that's as easy as it gets. If you're playing Jefferson, or if you're thinking of playing Jamal Williams, find $300 and play Antonio Gibson. Number two, Deontay Johnson, everything you said about the Steelers holds for me as well. But everything you said about Deontay Johnson holds, and the Ravens are down like their top five DBs this week. So there should be plenty of opportunity, even for a 39-year-old noodle-armed Ben Roethlisberger, to make something happen for Deontay Johnson. Number three, and everything you said, I hear no Rams. No Los Angeles Rams mentioned, no Matthew Stafford mentioned, no Cooper Kupp at 9,200. None of those Rams receivers. 13-point favorites at home against Jacksonville. They're expected to do the heavy lifting to get that game to the 48 total that we have on it. Are you fading the Rams this week? Because I actually like playing some sort of Rams stack with Matthew Stafford.
I'm not fading them if we're talking about tournaments. I'm just not prioritizing them in cash builds. And I think when you look at the projections, if you think the 7% roster rate for Cooper Kupp holds up going into the weekend, that's a fantastic tournament stack opportunity. I guess my question for you, if you want to stack that game and you're going Kupp, Stafford, maybe a third Ram, another pass catcher, a lot of people are interested in Daryl Henderson, right? Like that's that's the chalk Ram that I guess I'm not building into my cash games right now. I'm only playing one cash lineup. The question is, who do you throw back on the other side from the Jags? Who do you actually have confidence in making value? How do you expect, you know, Jalen Ramsey to be deployed against those pass catchers for the Jags?
Yeah. I mean, frankly, there's no one. Like, if I'm going to play the Rams, I'm just going to play the Rams. I'm not going to worry about running it back with the Jaguar. So I guess it's not like a pure DFS stack in where we're getting someone back on the other side. But I still think that this has to be not just a win for the Rams, because it's going to be a win for the Rams, but for a team that, you know, realistically probably isn't winning its division. So now they're staring at the 5 seed. They're going to have to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs against either the Buccaneers or the Cowboys, most likely, because it looks like it'll be Cardinals and Packers in the top 2 spots in the NFC. Like, I mean, even if they slide down, which is totally possible, you know, now they're only, what, one game ahead of the 49ers. Like, it's possible that the Rams slide down a spot and are suddenly the 6th seed in the NFC, depending on how these next few weeks go. Like, they absolutely, DVR, have to come out and make this game like 24-0 halfway through the second quarter. This team needs a salve this week. I mean, they absolutely do, and they've got the opportunity in the Jaguars. And I know there is a narrative-based line of thinking in that, but, like, come on, Rams. Like, they got to come out and do something big. So I don't know if I want to go up to the 9,000 on Matthew Stafford, but I could get in on on Cooper Kupp, but I could get in on one of the other receivers, Odell Beckham or Van Jefferson. That obviously makes this much more of a tournament-y build than I'm talking about if we're going Van or OBJ with Matthew Stafford. But I do have interest in the Rams this week, and it's more with the passing game rather than Daryl Henderson, who we know, DVR, if he plays, he's going to be playing at less than 100% because of that thigh issue.
Right, and I think that's probably also going to sink interest in him relative to where it would be if everything were totally fine. But I have a hard time not playing Kupp if I'm playing a Ram stack.
Yeah,
I just
fair.
In my head, I'm like, this is the kind of game where they get back to their core identity, and their core identity is Cooper Kupp just wreaking havoc and catching like 5 balls on the opening drive and pulling in the first TD, and then racking up like 10 or 12 catches as they just go full gas pedal in this game, because they need it. Like, they need to get right. This is a favor from the NFL schedule makers to have an opportunity to get a lot of confidence back for this team.
I want to find a way to play them, but I really want to find a way to play the guys that we talked about earlier. I love that Vegas-Washington game. I really like Joe Mixon or Jonathan Taylor, and that's really where I'm starting things out this week. It's crazy. I mean, we really don't talk DFS at all, you and me, until we get together to do this episode on Fridays, and we came to the same conclusion. So hopefully that means that this mind that we are sharing in DFS this week is one that leads to something successful on Sunday. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast for DVR. I am Michael Beller. Good luck this weekend. Thanks for joining us. As always, we will talk to you next week. Until then, enjoy your weekend, enjoy all the football, and good luck with everything. DFS, fantasy, gambling, whatever it is. Good luck. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.